Hi, good morning, everyone. It's 11 o'clock, and we'll get started here. Okay, welcome to the Step 1-Honesty meeting. My name is Judy, and I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting. Hi, please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and you must sign a release up on the table after the meeting. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps of OA? Come on up.
My first words at this convention, so this is great. My name is Cynthia. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much. The format for this 55-minute session is as follows. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes on the topic, followed by an open sharing. Again, the topic for this session is Step 1, Honesty. I will now share my experience, strength, and hope, but I forgot to ask for a timer. Who could help us by being the timer? Great. Okay.
Thank you. Maybe could you give me a signal when I've got like 5 minutes? 15?
15. Okay, so you want to
after 10.
Yeah, thank you.
Righty, thank you. My name is Judy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. My statistics are that I began this journey on November 22nd, 1974. And I weighed 80 pounds more than I weigh today. And I am extremely grateful. This program has changed my life. And one of the most important steps is Step 1 and getting rigorously honest with yourself. Because the thing I hated more than anything when I got here was that they suggested that you call somebody and let someone else into your plate. Let someone else see how you were eating. And that meant that every time I went like this off of a cake, that I shared it with another human being. And every time that I cleaned up the crumbs, I shared it with another human being. And I got to get honest with myself about what I was actually doing with food. Because if you had asked me, I would say, you know, I don't really eat that much. I don't know why I'm obese. And that's true for so many of us. So the first step is getting honest in the plate, and then from that, all other honesty emerges. You know, here I knew I'm talking on honesty this morning, and about 15 minutes ago, I tried to tell a lie over at the registration. Because I have to leave and come back this afternoon, so I asked for two parking deals. And she said, oh, no, we can only give one. I said, well, my friend can't walk well. I'm getting one for her. Lie. So then she went and asked the supervisor, and then I saw that she and the supervisor were arguing about it, so I gently slipped away. You know, it's like to constantly, I mean, you know, I have 39 years in this program, and I'm a speaker here, and I get to watch this behavior. You know, it's just amazing, just amazing. Little con artist, got to get away with something, shave the odds. My case is different. I don't have to drive the speed. You know, one of my big things is trying to drive the speed limit, you know? So early on, I looked at this lesson. I'll just tell you a couple stories about me with honesty. One was I had been in the program 6 months, and I had lost about my first 30 pounds. And my birthday was coming up, and my husband was throwing me a party at the pool in our backyard. Lived in San Pedro. And so I went to Macy's, and one of my things is always to be overscheduled, overrushing, very important, yada, yada, yada. I was a consultant for LA County Probation, and I worked at the Navy Hospital treating Betty Ford, and I was like a real big shot. And so I breeze into the Macy's parking lot because they're having a sale on bathing suits, and I'm going to have this party. I didn't have time to try it on, of course, and I see this one. It's size 14. I said, wow, I can finally get into a 14, and it costs $14. And I said, you know, it's God-given. So I bought the suit, and this was in 1974, right? So actually, it was 75. Anyway, I bought the suit. I got home, and I had been out bathing, you know, sunbathing in the backyard. I had all this baby oil on me, and I went and I tried on the suit, and there were all these bulges hanging out. You know, it just looked terrible on me. So I pulled it off, and oh my God, I got baby oil all over the suit. I said, well, I'm going to take it back anyway, and I'm going to tell the lady that the table I picked it up from was dark. And I couldn't see these spots when I bought it. You see, ding, 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 you know, the mind, oh, wow, how can I? And so I'm racing back to Macy's, and I'm thinking up my story. And, you know, I'll tell her this, I'll tell her that. And all of a sudden, because I'm not overeating anymore, I can feel my body. I'm shaking, and my heart is pounding, and my breath is shallow. And all the great cons I used to be able to do with such aplomb. And this is just a sales girl like Macy's. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I turned the car around, and I went home. And I said, my abstinence is worth $14. Because I'll eat over this. I cannot. So why is this such an important and step one of the program is because we learn that we have to live differently. It's not just that we're going to eat differently. And this is how this program differs from all the other diet clubs out there, because they just say, diet and exercise, diet and exercise, diet and everything is about diet and exercise. And this program is about how do you live your life so you become a mensch, so you become a decent human being where you like yourself and you don't have to slap yourself with a Twinkie. Huh? Only here. Only here is that the focus. And guess what? The byproduct is we lose weight. The byproduct, not the direct goal. So, believe me, I love all this stuff. I just love it. So, about a year after I was in the program, they were having a roundup out in Palm Springs, and I didn't live there yet. I live there now full time, but I still lived in L.A. It was an AA roundup, and I said, well, I'll go out there for the weekend. And I went to a shoe store. Same thing. I buy these great gray cowboy boots. Oh, on my way to the meetings, I have to run in somewhere to buy something, you know, to get filled, right? They're on sale. That's another thing. Because sale means you got away with something, right? You didn't pay full price. So you see, back to that issue of I got to get away with something. And I used to only get away with things in the plate because I can do this by myself. And there are no consequences, don't you know? Right? I will just binge today and fast tomorrow, right? 222 pounds is where that got me. I dieted my way to 222 pounds. I did not get there by running amok and eating whatever I wanted. I worked hard every day. So anyway, so I buy the cowboy boots and I get them home, and the same deal, I had baby oil on my legs and they're stained, right? Gray, light gray cowboy boots, kind of soft leather. And the same damn thing. I said, I'm taking these back. And I put them back in the box. And on the next way to the next session I was going to, I again breeze into this store. And I go to tell them, and the whole thing, I'm still working it. I mean, I didn't learn from the first time. Still working it. I open the box, and the baby oil has evaporated. And there are no spots on the boots. Doo-doo-doo-doo, you know? So it's constantly being reminded about my con artist, I guess. And that's why some sponsors might talk tough to you. I'm often tough. I'm trying to have a little more kindness in myself. But sometimes it's like, cut. You know, just cut it already. Like, don't tell me that story again. Don't piss in my face and tell me it's raining. You know, just because, I'm sorry, but you know, just because you're sincerely deluded about your behavior doesn't mean I have to listen to it. You know, it's a selfish program. So if I'm doing 12-step work, something good should happen for me as a result too. Not just give, 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 listen, get slimed with dishonesty. That's not my role here. Thank you anyway. But take that to someone who cares. I'm not that mean, honest. I'm really not. So here's another honesty deal that just happened this morning again. You see how you're brought the things you need to deal with? So when I come to L.A. at least once a month, and I stay in this really Fleabag hotel down the street here, which is a fabulous, interesting place, and cheap, because I get away with something. And so 3 times ago that I was there, I got home and I didn't have my iPad charger cord, right? These things cost $27, okay? So last time I was in, I said to the, they had to wait for housekeeping, blah, 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 blah. Finally got the supervisor, and I left my iPad, I think I left my iPad charger cord here. So she goes in the drawer, and she finds one, but on it is written the wrong room number and the wrong date from when I would have left it there. The wrong room number and the wrong date. I said, well, you know, that isn't the room I stayed in. She says, you know, she gives me the high sign, right? So it's her fault, isn't it, that I take this. But this person in this room could come back for this, or this. A lot of Europeans stay there. This person could be halfway around the world. And I lost the charger, by God, right? So I said, okay, what the hey? So I take it from her. Oh, 5 minutes, okay. So I take it from her. And I've been using it for the last, 2 weeks. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago this happened. And P.S., yesterday when I'm packing to come here, in a little pocket in my suitcase, I find my charger. So immediately, dun, 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 you know, the Jaws music again, dun, 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 you know, I'm going to have two. Because, I mean, I might lose one again, or they might run out, and I should have more crap in my house that I have to sort. I'll have a drawer full of extra chargers, and, you know, I'm going to keep it. But then I wake up early this morning, and I said, I'm speaking on honesty at OA today. So I'm going to be a saint. You know, I think that these normal, common things that a decent person would do, in my opinion, are Saint Jude. You know, I have become a saint when I do the right thing. Amazing. So I go into the, you know, the office there, and I take it back, you know, the wrong one, and I say, I'm really sorry. Thank you so much for all your help. But here's the issue I want to talk about being honest and nice and all of that together. And that is that the woman's supervisor is right behind me. So I also study Buddhism, and one thing we talk about in Buddhism is skillful means. That when you do something, you try to do it skillfully, that you don't bring harm to yourself or anyone else. What does this mean? This means pay attention. You've got to pay a lot of attention to your behavior, not just what you're doing with food, you know, but how you're operating on the planet. What kind of karma are you putting out there, and what's going to come back your way? So I was very concerned about her supervisors behind me. I don't want her to get in trouble. You know, how am I going to do this? So I'm not so sure I did it the best way, because I was already mid-sentence, and if I had stopped and, you know, then he would have really been alerted, you know. So I just made a big deal of, thank you so much for your help, and kind of, you know. So I hope that I didn't cause any problem there. Now, the thing is, people ask me, what's the definition of abstinence? And for me, abstinence is guilt-free eating. So I encourage eating. I encourage savoring and sucking dry every bite. I'm not a food police, and I'm not against any substances in the food area. And that's very controversial, I know. But anyway, I'm a flexitarian in my food plan. I travel all around the world. I cannot be a tight ass about my food. So anyway, what was I talking about? What? Oh, guilt. Yeah, guilt. So I want to walk the planet in a way that I can look back and say, hey, I like how she handled that. That's all. And when I do that, I feel good about myself, good enough about myself to choose again something healthy for this organism. And when I behave in a way where I feel bad about myself, then I go into sneak eating and running around and hiding from you and me and everybody. And I'm dishonest in the world, and I punish myself with excess. So for those of us in these rooms, food is not our nurturer. We use it as a punisher. And until we get those wires uncrossed, and so far I've been at trying to learn how to do that for the last 39 years. And some days are better than others. This morning I already had two incidences of watching myself be a lying, cheating con artist. And I'm not saying that to put myself down. I'm still fabulous. But isn't it funny? You know, so you develop a sense of humor about yourself and your human foibles. And nothing human is foreign to me. We're all in this together. And I learn a great deal from what I hear you guys doing. So, is it time for me? Perfect. Perfect. So I'd now like to open it up for other people to share. Let me see what the official thing says. Okay, thank you. All righty. And, yes? Oh, nothing. Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I just wanted to find out if you're... Oh, yes. Yours should be 3 minutes. So you'll probably be timed for 3 minutes each. Come on up.
Okay. Sure.
First of all, I want to thank you for your sharing your time in service. I don't think I need to get that close. My name is Shannon. I'm a compulsive overeater. I... Step one for me is just so critical because I have to admit that I'm powerless and that my life is unmanageable. And it comes in two waves for me, the powerless part and the unmanageability part. And I so related to the manipulation, to getting what I want, to having it my way, to the dishonesty of taking clothes back. I'm a really dishonest person. And I can't, and I'm dishonest about my food. And oftentimes when I call my sponsor, it's really hard for me to be honest. And I think I'm not the only one. I think this is a common thread for all of us because it's the shame cycle. There's what I call a shame cycle. And when I fall away from and take a food choice or take whatever it is that I take, immediately it sets me up for this, I should have, and therefore I'm bad and wrong, and I've done something wrong, and then it's really hard for me to be honest. So undoing that cycle has been extremely difficult for me. And noticing when I've manipulated or forced an issue or tried to have it my way is very subtle sometimes because I've lived my life on self-will run riot. So I'm working on these things. In this program, there is a solution. And I'm so reminded of this today. This was really a great topic for me because I live by self-propulsion. And so I'm just grateful for being reminded of that. And you said things come our way to remind us of what we need to work on. And I'm reminded that is something daily I need to work on my job. Powerlessness clears the way for my higher power. I have got to admit that I'm powerless. If not, God cannot come in and do for me what I cannot do for myself. And once I begin to admit that I'm powerless, I can see how unmanageable my life is. I can see these little machinations that I go through on a daily basis to control or manipulate food and people, places, and things. And so I'm grateful for this step. This step it's just recently that I've really come to a deeper place with the powerlessness and understanding that I have to that God can do for me what I cannot do for myself. And that the powerlessness allows me to connect with God in such a beautiful way in my morning meditation. When I lay down Shannon and I say less of self and more of him, I get a great life. Thank you for letting me share.
I'm Jackie. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, everybody. Hi. Thank you so much. And I want to agree with what was said, that my con artist is about shame. And I'm not interesting enough to want to manipulate things because I'm spirited. I'm like a big old bucket of shame, you know, and I have to pay attention to that. And I've been in this program for like 27, 28 years. And I was absent a lot of the time, relapse, and then all that kept coming back. And 5 years ago at this birthday, I walked in with my sponsor, and someone shared that their abstinence was honesty. And that just, I was, you know, I'd done a lot of work, and I was just ready to take that step. And that was the step that brought me into abstinence in the way I am today. And I'm just so grateful, and this topic is a big deal because I have to know, I love the guilt-free eating thing. You know, and I have to notice when I edge into that because food's not perfect, you know, and I do really well almost all the time. Thank God after 27 years and working all those steps up and down. But this program to me is so good at working with that shame. And every time I ate, it was about shame, you know. And then every time I relapsed, it was about shame because I would work the program, you know, that whole thing. Any of us that have been around for a while, I don't know but if you relate to the cycle, but I'd be doing great. And then I was very connected and doing great. And then when my food got bad, I got very shameful. And I just went back to what I always did growing up, right? Just hid. So the honesty is huge, and I have another person in this fellowship. I have my little team that I built in the years of people I trust and keep really close to me, and we developed a technique. We food sponsor each other, and we just call it like food buddy. And I still call my food to her every day. I leave it on her machine, and if I need to talk to her, I say I need to talk. if, you know, we've gotten to the point where it's like, yeah, everything was fine. But when it's not fine, I need to be honest with her or somebody. And I had to even find someone I knew for about 15 years before I could even let her know it was on my plate. But I'm just happy to be here to remember because, again, you know, I can forget that that's one of the most important things is that I'm honest with another human being because I learned somewhere, and this program taught it to me through practicing it, that the only way you heal shame is if you're honest about it in the face of a loving witness. And I never found that anywhere else but here, and now I can find it other places, but I couldn't trust anybody to be a loving witness of the stuff I'm the most shameful. And I have to keep that up because I'm sure that, you know, I have a couple things I'm thinking I might need to be more honest about right now because, right, we don't get it. We just, you know, take the charger back that day. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, my name's Eileen, compulsive overeater. Hi, I was not planning on sharing at all today, and especially with the whole, that was amazing. I'm like, yes, like I wanted to come up to this podium and like scream. So I just feel compelled to share. So driving here, so I'm here for today. I live in the Valley, and I'm thinking $50, really? Like I'm going to be here, a few hours? And in my head, I'm thinking, will they really know, and who will know? And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Of course I'm going to pay, like for the registration fee, right? So of course I go in and I pay, you know, it's a no brainer, but there was that like wheeling and dealing in my head of how can I get away with not spending $50? Anyways. So it's what I've been working on lately with honesty is so I get to work every day and I email my food sponsor, my step sponsor, my food, my plan for the day. And when there are, sometimes there are things that pop up where I'm like, oh, I have an opportunity to have something else. And when I experiment in that, what I find is my head will all day long start that obsessing about, well, if I had that, now how am I going to do this? And then I have to take this away and then move this around and I'm changing everything. And it's crazy. And I have found that not doing that one thing, even if it's a small thing, let's just say it's they're cooking at my work and they say, oh, would you like a bite of this? And I know it's, for example, cauliflower, right? Like they made cauliflower the other day. I'm like, I can have cauliflower. But I didn't commit it. It wasn't part of my food plan. And it's all part of me being honest. So yesterday, I had to go. There's this little market around from where I work. And it's really like this organic, little cute, fun little restaurant. And I always go and look it around. And they have these little, like, sugar-free chocolate things. And they are like nothing. I mean, they really are. I mean, it's nothing for me to have it. I didn't commit it. And I didn't, but I knew they were there, and I had to go to that market to get this thing that I did plan. And I typed out, I am super extra committing that this is the only thing I'm going for that store for. And I went to the store, and I found myself sort of walking around, and I'm like, just go, just get out of the store, run. And I did, and I got in my car, and I emailed my sponsor. I'm like, it's a effing miracle that I only got what I committed. Because in my head, I rationalize it. Oh, it's just this, but it's not just that. Because it's just that one thing that sets off my entire obsession. It may not make me compulsively overeat later, but it makes me feel like I'm a crazy person. And clearly, I don't need to be more of a crazy person. Anyways, thank you.
My name is Cynthia. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you very much. And I think I just realized I am passionate about honesty, and that's because I was so dishonest in my life. And this program, which I've been in since 1985, and I have 6 years less than that abstinence or whatever, so if someone else said, do the math, it took me a very long time. And what I'm most grateful for, besides the physical recovery, is the principles behind the steps, and honesty is the principle behind step one. There's not a lot of things I remember from my childhood, which makes step four very easy, but I remember lying from a very early age. Before kindergarten, I cut my thumb with a knife, and so it was a clear, clean cut, and I lied to my mom at 4 and 5 to say, no, I cut it on a rock. You know, that's not the kind of thing. I remember breaking things at my grandmother's house and saying, no, I didn't break it. And that continued through stealing money from roommates, lots of money, because I didn't want to spend my money on bitch foods, stealing out of refrigerators at work, stealing, I didn't steal as much from stores, but lying. And if nobody knew about it, it didn't count, whether it was food, the car that I hit that I never left a note on. Big things, big things. And so I think the reason it took 6 years for me to get an abstinence was because I couldn't be honest. And the thing that helped me most was what my sponsor said to me over and over and over, what are you willing to do without exception? And I wanted to do 3 meals a day, and then I ate 4. I wanted not to eat this, and then I ate twice as much of it. I just couldn't. And so then I said, okay, I'll have this plan, and if I change it, and I'll call you. And it just got very elaborate, and I couldn't do it. And then I thought, I can write down my food, and then I'll share it with her. And I thought, no, I don't want to share it with her every day. So my abstinence, bottom line, minus some food things, is I write my food down. And it doesn't matter that it's had pounds of chocolate on it. It doesn't help to have that a lot. Or when I eat 12 bagels every single day, followed by frozen yogurt for my dinner, day after day after day. Those things are there, and I sort of believe that when I put them on the paper, I release them, and I don't have to feel guilt or shame about them. And I was also concerned about that abstinence because it didn't follow Roseanne's, our co-founder, wrote about abstinence, talking about something that you give up. That's a bottom line definition. And I thought, how can this really be abstinence? And somebody told me, you are abstaining from dishonesty when you write down your food. With my higher power, that's what I abstain from. And if that's been a gift. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank
Hi, I'm Anita, very grateful, compulsive overeater. I was thinking about what I wanted to share, and I thought, we need a little humor. I come from a family of liars. What I found, unfortunately, is I was a very bad liar. One particular lie was I told a group of friends I had a date, which I didn't, of course, and I went to a movie with a girlfriend, and all my girlfriends were sitting in back of me. So my father told me a long time ago, if you're going to be a liar, you've got to be a good liar. And I could see right away I was a lousy liar. But when I came into OA, which was over 40 years ago, I didn't know what self-honesty was. If you come from that kind of family, I knew, you know, with you get too much money and you give it back and all, but I didn't know all my life I was lying because I'm a secret eater. And my kids to this day laugh because they said they always knew I was eating the ice cream because my thinking was if I leveled it, they wouldn't know I ate it. Well, when I came in 40 years ago, truthfully, I knew I was a compulsive overeater, but I didn't know my life was unmanageable. Oh, I didn't admit my life was unmanageable. And I found myself on a Halloween night, I had my boys 17 months apart, stealing those little things that they got. And what I didn't know is they had counted them the night before. So the next morning when they counted it, and they just killed one another, and I stood there as their mother, watching them beat one another up when I had eaten their candy the night before. Well, naturally, I had to make amends, and I remember making amends to one of my sons And he just looked at me. He didn't know what to say. He said, "It's okay, Mom." You know, here I was, an adult woman, apologizing. I was a secret eater. I ate it. No one saw me eat. I mean, God forbid. Even my husband. I lied to him and said that I ate with the children. And then he would say, after supper, when he was in the family room, "What's all that noise in the kitchen?" Well, of course, I was opening packages. I lied. I ate in the bathroom. I ate in the car. And the funny part is, my husband would say, "What are all those crumbs in the car?" And I'd say, "It was the children." Well, they sat in the back. Didn't my husband figure that crumbs were in the front? I told you it was funny. When I came in to back to OA, I left OA. I thought I had the big book. Well, when I came in, I realized I either had to work the program like everybody else that was successful, or else it would be nothing. When I came back, 27 years, I've taken a candle. I knew you just had to do it the way it says. And I had to learn honesty. And it's a process. It didn't come easy to someone that had lied all their life. But anyway, thank you, OA. Thank you to all of you, because through all of you, I've learned honesty. Thank you.
My name is Pat, and I am a grateful compulsive overeater. Thank you. Actually, I've been around the program for a long time. I've been around at its conception. But I would leave and come back, and leave and come back. So this time, it's been about a year. And I've had a couple of sponsors, and I have not been honest with them at all about my food, except for the one I have now. But it was something about pre-planning. I think I've lived my whole life around not planning anything, but just doing it. And so I had the one sponsor, and she said, "Well, let me know what you ate at the end of the day." So I said, "Okay, that worked, because I don't know what I'm going to eat." So anyway, I would call her at the end of the day, and I would tell her, but of course I would leave out some things. You know, I couldn't tell her. I just couldn't tell her. I don't know what it was, if I thought that she was going to yell and rant and rave, or what. She was really kind of stern, and so my mom was stern, so I was kind of fearful, right? So this time when I came back, I had another sponsor, and she wanted me to email my food in. Well, that didn't work for me, because I think I need the live person to talk to for me, and so and her job, and we just couldn't connect, and I just felt abandoned and everything. So, and I just had a resentment. So the sponsor that I have now, I tell her what I ate at the end of the day. But I do call her and tell her whatever it is that's crazy, you know. Like I told her, I said, "I'm going to the OA party, and I'm getting ready to leave, and I didn't eat lunch, I ate dinner, and da-da-da." So she said, "Do you have any chicken breast that you fixed?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Go in there and cut that up and fix some salad and just put it in the thing and take it with you." It's like I've lived this way for 68 years. And so change for me is really hard. And this thing about honesty, we practice these principles in all our affairs. I guess I just have not been honest all my life. I'm just dishonest, and I'm fearful of what you're going to say when I tell you really what I'm thinking, or really what I've eaten. I don't know if I just feel that, I don't know what I feel. I don't know if it's shame or guilt, or you're not going to like me, or you're going to think the worst of me, or just what it is. But thank you. But I think I think I can be honest now, because that's when the freedom comes, when I'm honest. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I am Marilyn, compulsive overeater, and I'm sharing because I don't want to, and that's part of recovery. I always thought that I was an honest individual, good girl, never got into trouble. And I've been in program for 3.5 years, and I realized that I came into program real abstinent, lost 100 pounds, all this stuff. Then I said, then I took the first bite. Then I began to lie, saying, no one's going to know. Months went on. I'm still abstinent. Well, I kind of maintained it a little. Then I saw someone in program. I had lunch with her, and I said, I'm not abstinent. And I said, I'm an evil, horrible, rotten human being. And she goes, no, sweetheart, you have a disease, compulsive overeating. It's not your fault. And I'm in pride of myself as being a good person, loyal, just lied about the food. And she goes, no. And I realized that abstinence is honesty. And it's about, there's something in my brain, for me, that just turns off. It's the food. It's even the lying that I go into a store, being a size 24 jean and in a 3X shirt, and I'd say, oh, they make them small. They make them small. Oh, yeah. And now I'm in a size 10 jean, a medium shirt, and I'm like, oh, they're making them big now. It's when it comes to my image and myself, I lie. And I'm being honest now. I call my sponsor. I have a timer each day. Goes off. I call her. I meditate. And I find that the key to honesty for me is willingness and not being perfect. I have this motto that I said, progress, not perfection. And when I share in my meetings that I go to, I have this drum roll, and I say, wait for it, and I say, I have an epiphany, because people in the meetings know that I've been going. I said, if you use a tool, it works. And it took me a while to realize, because I'm this close to eating. I've had a really good recommitment abstinence since October 27th. And it's not just food, it is spiritual, it's tools. I do the outreach calls that I was so scared of, and the people in my meetings are like family. And I'm so scared of calling them, and I'm this close. Like, I can be in this meeting and this workshop the whole day, and suddenly I'm like, I could leave and then get one bite. So I hope that everyone is honest. So thank you very much.
Shayla, compulsive overeater.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear your story. God, I thought I was the only one. Man, I'm telling you, you know the power. I've been in the program probably about 10 days or so. So I'm barely new. And I came here from another 12-step program, and in that program I found out I was a thief and a liar. And so this is a good segue, because that was the foundation, because I don't think I would have been honest enough to just come in here and say, I lie, and I lied most of my life, you know, and I've taken back everything you can take back. I've taken it back. I've taken back chicken. I've taken it back rooster. I've taken it back clothes. I've worn them, shoes, put tape on them, you name it. I've done it. I'm sitting back in the back cringing. And just the boldness that you're telling the story about the cords. Oh, I've done that one too, you know. And wow, it is such a freedom just to hear. Because at first, my belief is that you have to admit, you know, and I do know that I'm powerless. It's easy to have been powerless in that other program because you just don't do it. You know, in this program, I'm constantly eating. And I'm recognizing that it's about turning everything over. And I heard that in the group this morning,
really, really empowering. In fact, I've been crying, like going outside crying and kicking it in, because just the realization that there's hope, that I'm as honest as my program is. And since I've been in the program, I haven't been telling my sponsor what I eat, but she said, don't worry about the food yet. So that's a good thing, because I already know that I can't put cookies in my house. I'll eat the whole thing. I can't eat one. It's not going to happen. You know, I can't cook extra chicken because it's not going to be extra. I'm going to eat it. So I know that when I do look at my food, that I'm going to have to really be strong. And I've heard a lot of really good things here today. And I never realized that one could be that honest with their life. And it's about your spirituality, because I can control not doing the other thing, you know, but this thing called food is like every day. So it's a conscious contact, that spiritual experience, and that conscious contact with God that I'm really looking for. And I feel like I have hope, because the last couple of days I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, because I'm really hungry. And emotionally, I got all kind of stuff going on. I gave up that other thing. Now I got to give up food too. It's too much. I feel like I can do it now. I feel like I can really turn it over. In that, really focus on knowing that my life is unmanageable, because I would steal everything from everybody, except I wouldn't steal out of your purses. You don't have to worry about that. I wasn't going to do that. There was some shame, whatever that was, like, oh, no, I would never do that. You know, but I could go to the stores. I could, you know, take it from whatever the situation was, work stuff, pens, pencils, you know, all that stuff. So anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Hi, my name is Shannon. I took back a bowl to go to sleep this week. My name is Connie. I'm a compulsive overeater. It's something you said in your share. Thank you very much. I had a sponsor for a while who was amazing, and I lied to this sponsor, and she let me go, and I understood that totally. But here's the thing, is I gained a lot of weight back because I'm punishing myself. So I notice, you know, what I do with food is I punish myself with food. So, you know, I'm on the down again, but it's like, here's what I learned through that experience. I learned that when I gained the 40 whatever pounds it was like, I don't want to, it wasn't pleasing anybody. It was, I can't live like this anymore. I can't be this heavy. I can't be going in and out of doors and all the energy it takes to be 300 pounds. So it was like somewhere along the line I got this eye. And I don't know if it's God or whatever, but it's like, you know, this morning there was some workshop on you get treasures through trials. Yeah, that's what they said, treasures through trials. And so I'm very humbled this time around. It's like I'm not going to mess around. It's like, I can't have a cracker, you know? I can't have one bite. I can't have a chip. There's no way I can have any grains except oatmeal. So it's like, it's not that those are little things. Everything that goes in my mouth is a big thing. I'm allergic to those things. And I need to be completely honest with myself about them, or I'm going to continue to gain weight. And after I got up to 320, and what's after 320? 400, you know? I never thought I'd be over 300. I never thought I was over 200. But, you know, I just don't want a life like this. You know, I have a cane. I can't go on vacations. There's a lot of things I can't do. Why? Because I'm too fat. And also afraid. So who wants that kind of life? So I see OA as so much hope, but I have to be... I don't talk a lot, you know, so I'm going to talk for an hour. No, I'm kidding. But I'm finding just the opposite of what I feel I need to do. Contrary, I have to be open and talk to people. Like, people say hi to that, and it's like I have nothing to say. But I need to reach out there and grab my recovery, because it's mine, and I want to live. You know, I'm 64, and I got a lot of life to live. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dawn. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm really scared, but I just did the fear workshop, so I got to get up here. It worked. I'm here, and I came all the way from Winnipeg, Canada, so I got to get up and talk. So, yeah, fear is a big one for me. I've been in program for 21 years. I have 3 months of abstinence. I've had periods of abstinence over the years. I had a year and a half when I broke my abstinence 3 months ago. And I didn't just do it once. I did it two nights in a row. I did quit eating when I felt full, though, which I never did before OA. I used to be stuffed and feel sick and still keep on eating. So that was a miracle that I was able to quit when I felt full. But then I had to do it the next night. And there's reasons for it, but I'm not going to go into them because we all have our reasons for what we do. But I had been struggling before that. And so I asked an ex-sponsee if I could phone my food or email my food to him. So I started doing that. And he made a couple of suggestions, which I asked him to. And then I didn't like his suggestions. And I kind of told him that kiddingly. And then I said, no. You know, it's good. I agree with you. I'm just in denial. And, but then he quit giving me suggestions anymore. He kind of thought, I don't know what he thought, but anyway. And, so then after I broke my abstinence, I quit emailing my food to him. And, I thought about doing it again. I just said, well, I'm too busy. And then I thought about doing it again. And then I thought, do I really want someone to know what I'm eating? And so I haven't been. And I needed to do a step 4 and 5, and I hadn't done that. But I have since. But I'm still struggling with the food, with how much food to have and stuff like that. So it's really good to be here. And because I am... heavier than I want to be, and so I need to really look at the food and how much I'm eating, and so that honesty is really important. It's really important that I be honest with somebody else and put my food out there. And if I'm afraid to do that, that means I'm not eating as healthy as I can. So thanks.
Thank you, everybody. Where else can we hear this kind of thing, huh? Yay.
Can I make a quick announcement for anybody who spoke at the podium or shared? Would you please make sure you sign the speaker release form on the front table before you leave?
Okay. Everybody? Okay. It is now time to close this session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service at this session and all of you for attending. After a moment of silence, please join us as we close with the Serenity Prayer, led by my friend who bought me this scarf, Arlen.